Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What I would consider a healthy couple. Are we a healthy couple?
I don't know.
I think we're a healthy couple. I think it's 10 years.
Maybe there's a Reddit thread podcast talking about how long we have left.
Yeah.
Dear Shandy.
Welcome back to Dear Shandy, listeners. This is a bonus episode of Dear Shandy. Yeah. Hello, Andy.
Hello.
How are you today?
Feeling mournful.
Mournful. You are wearing black today.
Yes.
This doesn't happen very often.
Gotta honor the occasion.
Yes.
Not celebratory.
No, because today we are going to talk about the Golden Bachelor breakup or divorce.
Yeah.
Or annulment.
Yeah, it's a nully.
A nully?
It's in the annulment. I think it's more of an annulment. But annulment doesn't sound as dramatic for the paper.
It's true. Wait, so how many months does it have to be within for an annulment to work?
I think an annulment is a year.
Oh, really?
I think.
Do you actually know? Maybe we should have researched this before starting.
If someone gave me 2-to-1 odds, uh-huh, I would bet a substantial amount of money on this.
Okay.
I think a year is the amount.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Andy, you betting will come up later in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So obviously today we're talking about the fact that Gary Turner and Teresa Nist are no longer together.
Yeah.
And we are recording this on Friday. This will go out on Tuesday, which is our usual Bachelor recap spot.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we are recording this as soon as we are hearing, and we polled our listeners over on Instagram. If you're not following us on Instagram, then you miss out on stuff like this. So you should be following us on Instagram, all that stuff.
You only have to follow us. You don't have to look at any other posts anywhere.
Yeah.
You don't have to be on social media.
Yeah.
It's just Dear Shandy Media.
Exactly.
Should we start our own social network?
Over on Instagram, we polled you for questions that we would answer in today's episode and just share our thoughts.
Just a side note, we usually don't cover news stories.
No. I actually, you know, a lot of times whenever there's a couple that breaks up, people want us to comment on it. But we actually consciously choose not to, just because we're talking people's real lives. I just feel like recapping the show is different from like recapping what happens after the cameras aren't rolling anymore, speculating about, mm-hmm, what's going on in people's lives.
Right.
The reason that I feel we should talk about this one is because we had our Love Fest come out 3 weeks ago with Gary, yeah, and Teresa. So yeah, a super recent Love Fest celebrating their relationship. Obviously, we very actively recapped the entire season. So we agreed it was sort of appropriate for us to comment on this one.
Also, it was a very short marriage. It was,
yes,
a very short relationship. It's not like these guys were together for 3 or 4 years, mm-hmm, and then they had a horrible breakup.
Yeah.
It's quick.
Yeah.
So it's not too mournful, despite my shirt.
Okay. And our minor key jingle.
Yes.
Okay. So the first question, obviously, is how shocked are you that they are divorcing?
I don't want to be a jerk here.
Mm. And you're setting the tone.
I'm going to say I'm not shocked.
Okay.
And I'm not in any way disparaging either of them or both of them together.
Mm-hmm.
I think, as we will discuss, there were a lot of reasons why this probably wasn't going to work.
Uh-huh.
And I think that to disparage them and say, oh, see, we told you, Gary's a jerk. And I did even call Gary the Grim Reaper.
Uh-huh.
But I do not think this is a Grim Reaper event. I think this is a mutual event between adults, very mature adults.
Yes.
And it was a potentially logistical decision.
Okay, so not a reaping.
Not a reaping.
Okay.
I don't believe there was a reaping here.
Yeah, I feel shook but not shocked myself. Yeah. Like, I'm sad by this. Like, I feel very sad because, you know, there was the whole season made you believe in something. And then to have it, you know, not be what you thought it was is sort of like, it's just a disappointment. But I don't even like using the word disappointment because they weren't a disappointment. It's just the situation is, you know, like we wanted to believe in something. But am I really shocked? No. I think there was a lot working against them.
Look, let's call a spade here.
Yeah.
This show forces you to get married.
Well, in this case, yeah, actually married. Televised. We will get to that.
They got married,
yeah,
before they even were able to live in the real world together.
Yeah.
That's not normal.
Yeah.
And I would say if you told me just out of the gate, like I never even knew there were just dating shows on TV.
Yeah.
Like I came from another planet. A terrible planet where there are no dating shows. Such a horrible planet. But you said to me, there are two people. They're in their 70s. They met on a TV show. And they were basically contractually forced to get married right after that TV show.
Oh, and they're not from the same city.
They're not from the same city. They're from two culturally very different places of the country.
True.
What are their chances of making it past the year? I would say zero.
Zero?
I'd say zero. I'd say 1%. No. I'd say 1% just because you never know.
You would say like 15, 20.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. I would not say that. Okay. It would be under 10%.
Okay.
Really, I'm not saying this for impact. Uh-huh. This is truly what I would say.
Okay.
That doesn't make sense to me. First of all, they never dated. Mm-hmm. They were on a show. That doesn't count. That's an experience. It's like meeting someone, like let's say you both go, like you pay $250,000 to go on Branson's thing that goes, you know, the vomit space. Rocket that goes into the...
Is it called a vomit rocket?
I don't know. I think it goes up and you have zero gravity.
Okay.
And you float like you're in space and then you see the curvature of Earth and you see the blackness of space and it's 250 grand.
Oh, isn't wow.
That, he used to do that?
Yeah, no, he might still. That's what you do when you become a billionaire.
That's what you do. You got nothing to do. You're like, I want to go up into space.
When
today.
You become a billionaire, you start going to space.
Yeah, yeah. What
you get bored.
You
want
to go to that new restaurant or you want to go to space? Yeah. Oh, let's go to space. Yeah. We already ate there. Let's say you meet someone on that vomit rocket.
Uh-huh.
And you go through this experience and it's insane. And you see space and you're floating and you kind of have a romantic connection. You get that back down to Earth and you have the after party where you meet Branson. I'm sure he's hanging out, you know, having some champagne with you. That's not a realistic romantic
dating.
Engagement. That's fantasy world. Mm-hmm. Well, you have to get out of that situation, hang out in the normal planet mm-hmm. and just experience each other.
Yes.
This is like that. This show is not dissimilar from meeting on a rocket that goes to space.
Yeah. Especially the first Golden Bachelor. I mean, we didn't know what this was, what it was going to be.
Yeah.
Truly. And yeah. It was teased for years. Okay. So neither of us are shocked.
I'm not shocked.
Okay. A little saddened.
I'm sad. But not shocked.
Oh, it's raining. It just started to rain.
Oh, thunder may be coming too.
Oh, how symbolic.
Yeah.
Okay. So
the sky is crying.
It is. Okay. So the next question was, when did you record your Love Fest with them? Some people wanted a timeline. So this Love Fest actually was thrown together really last minute. We often have a lot more notice than this, but our team reached out to them. We confirmed on Thursday and we recorded with them on the Friday, March 15th at 5 p.m. Eastern. So really this was confirmed just the day before. And then we sent out that episode on March 21st. So 6 days later, it was a really fast turnaround. Like we changed the schedule around for this Love Fest, obviously, who wouldn't?
Yeah.
So it was a really big get for us and we were really excited. But in case anyone was wondering how far in advance that was recorded, it was not recorded far in advance.
No, it was a pretty quick turnaround.
Yeah. Was your podcast the source of the tea that they were living apart?
Yes.
Yes.
And we didn't get credit. Us Weekly and TMZ.
Another question was, have you ever seen yourselves properly credited when news broke that they were living apart?
No. Well, oh, we have. No, subsequently.
Vanity Fair has since, yes.
Vanity Fair, Bustle.
Bustle, yeah.
Someone else, I forget.
Yeah, yeah.
But
we were a little upset about it at the time, actually.
But the news broke and they were like, oh, breaking news. And we're like, what? That's 10 days old.
How Us Weekly of Us Weekly to do that?
That's so Us Weekly. Classic Us Weekly.
Yeah,
it's even more TMZ than TMZ.
Totally.
They out TMZ at TMZ.
Yeah, I would expect that of TMZ.
Yeah, but Us Weekly, come on, Us Weekly.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing. We didn't go into that Love Fest expecting to get some sort of breaking news. You know,
no.
Love Fest, we really do mean for Love Fest to be a celebration of love, as cheesy as that sounds. We're not asking gotcha questions.
This is not an interview. And also, when they said that, I didn't think of that as breaking news. I wasn't like, ooh, that's a big piece right there.
No,
that's
me neither.
I was just like, that's normal. He lives in Indiana. She lives in Jersey. Like, of course, there's a possibility that they're not going to move in together immediately. They have families there. They have roots. She has a job there. She has a career.
I mean, I was surprised by that information mainly because they were at that point already married.
Right.
And
okay,
you have this assumption that
TV
they have
marriage.
A house now.
It's not a normal marriage. That wasn't a normal marriage.
Okay.
We have to accept that. This was not a real marriage. This was a sham marriage, not a sham relationship.
Yeah.
Okay. It was a test of a relationship. It was a relationship that was like, let's see, where is this going to go? We really like each other. Maybe this could be something. The wedding was a sham. And it was forced on them. They didn't decide it. You think this couple, if they met in real life, they would have been like, let's get married in 1 month.
Okay. I just think you have to watch your wording because that could be taken out of context, Andy. It could be taken out of context.
You think Us Weekly is like, dear Shandy calls this a sham wedding. Like, wait, what about the credit for them living separately?
But what we're saying is the relationship was legit. I really do believe it was legit.
The relationship was legit.
Yeah.
And it was, you know what it was? It was like putting something on the stove with too high a flame.
Mm.
Cook it slow.
Yes.
You can't burn it. Gotta
get it golden brown.
Yeah. Look, some things you want to sear. Some things you want it like a steak. You want it to hit the pan and be like, sear.
Yeah.
This is like a slow cook.
Okay.
It's a slow cook.
I do that too often. I have the flame too high.
You go too high in the flame.
Yeah.
You know what I always say? If you can hear the gas coming out, it's too high.
Okay. Why do you think it didn't work? Do you believe it was distance related as they claimed? And then the follow-up was, would it have come up pre-wedding? Okay, so I have a lot of thoughts on this. I think the main reason was distance, like 95%.
Yes, logistics. Yeah. I agree.
And I think that when you reach a certain point in life, you have more roots in whatever place you're in. It's more than just Teresa's career, her still working. I think that was sort of a blip. We'll get to that in a bit. But I think the fact that they have kids and grandkids where they're living, you know, that's a lot to ask of a person. And it really highlights the difference between The Bachelor and Golden Bachelor. When you're 25, you simply do not have those commitments.
Freewheeling.
Yes.
Go by the seat of your pants.
Totally.
This is exactly what I'm talking about. They were in a bubble. And in that bubble, they were great together.
Yes.
If they could have just lived in that bubble of reality TV forever, they would have been fine.
Totally. I think if teleportation existed and it was not, and it was cost efficient or cost friendly,
cost effective, yeah,
that way more relationships would work out. This is a huge reason why, in fact, when they shared this as being, I think, was this their hurdle?
Yes.
The fact that they don't live
this
together.
This was their big hurdle,
It might have been her working. No.
The working became the not living together.
Okay.
It was sort of one and the same.
Yeah, I called this very relatable when we recorded the Love Fest because I do think this comes up a lot. We get this with our relationship questions when people write in for Q&As. People are like, oh, well, he lives there. Is it crazy to move? Or is it wrong that I'm growing resentful for having moved? That kind of stuff. It totally tracks with real life dating. And so therefore, I think this is 100% the main reason. And the question about why wasn't this discussed beforehand? I think it probably was in a like, oh yeah, we'll cross that bridge when we get there kind of way. Like we love each other.
How many times have you been on some exotic vacation? Maybe you even went with your family. This is like old school, like you're a teenager and you met someone and you're just like, this is it. I'm spending the rest of my life with this person. This is amazing. This is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
And you never think, you're like, well, we live in different places and this is a vacation. What am I talking about? This isn't going to work.
Yeah.
You don't think about
that
in the moment.
Certain personalities do think that way.
But I don't think they did. I think they were caught up with the moment. First of all, this is the first time anyone has ever done. This is the first Golden Bachelor ever.
Yes. And so I think we can all agree.
Seniors have been on a dating show, as far as I know, on the TV.
Yes.
So
on the TV.
They were caught up in this huge moment. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. This wasn't like someone's like, oh yeah, I know like five of my friends have been on The Bachelor and I just got cast. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to do this thing. It wasn't routine. This was a huge moment for them. They were caught up in the moment. That diner date, I'll still say that diner date, best date in the history of the franchise.
You cried.
My opinion. Yeah, I cried. Mm-hmm. I cried.
Yes.
You know how many times I've cried?
I have not
People
seen you
I've
cry.
People I've loved have died and I didn't cry.
Okay.
Not that much.
Another quote taken out of
Weekly,
context.
Watch out. No, that's not really 100% true. People I liked, died. I didn't cry.
Okay.
So it was an amazing date. It was a bubble. It was this moment in history. They were caught up in it. And I 100% believe there was a real strong romantic connection. And even they at 70 and 72, even they got swept up like kids. Mm-hmm. And they weren't thinking like, oh, I live in Indiana and I live in New Jersey and I really want to keep my career. And there's a cultural difference here, blah, 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 blah. They weren't thinking about that, even at that age. But as soon as that bubble burst, they had to immediately be faced by it. I have grandkids. I have a career. He lives way across the country. I live here. This isn't going to work. And you know what? A person at that age is much better at saying no to that logistical nightmare than someone who's 26. Who's 100%. Like, you know what? I'll move to Indiana.
Well, because they also have more. The fact that they have their kids and their grandkids means that they're less reliant, less like, oh, I need to find the one, my soulmate, my partner. Right. It's like they have other things to focus their love on.
And let's be honest, at that age, you don't want things to be really hard. No. You want it to be easy. No. You want to have find someone who lives across the street. Fast, fast, fast growing trees. Don't let your trees go slow.
Who wants a slow growing tree? You're right, Andy.
Most of the time you want to see progress.
Yes.
You want to go from season to season. You want to see growth.
Yes.
And fast growing trees give you that.
Okay.
And they give you a lot of other stuff and you can talk about that. I'm done.
Okay. Fast growing trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. That is very large. They have more than 10,000 different kinds of plants. And that is everything from fruiting trees to flowering trees to house plants. The list goes on. And they have over 2 million happy customers. And I mean, this has been one of your greatest discoveries of the past year and a half, Andy.
You know, I have a lot of plants on the deck. Yes. A lot. But there are two, which I look forward to more than anything, because they're the healthiest, the most vibrant, and the most exciting.
Okay.
My raspberry bush and my cherry tree.
Both from fast-growing trees.
Both from fast-growing trees. Both unbelievably healthy, almost too healthy.
And the reason it's so healthy, they had you filter based on our zip code. And they were like, actually, a cherry tree would do very well in your climate. I love this. They help you figure out what would actually work where you live, because what's the point in slaving away all the hours you could spend tending to a plant that was never going to survive where you live? And they were right. This cherry tree has exploded. Plus, they have a 30-day alive and thrive guarantee and free plant consultation forever.
You know, I've said this before. This site is for the expert and the novice.
Yes.
There's no reason why anyone should go anywhere else to get a tree unless they live on a farm of trees that they have made themselves.
Okay. So this spring, Fast Growing Trees has the best deals online, up to half off select plants and other deals.
And our listeners, the Shandys, get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using code Shandy at checkout.
That's an additional 15% off the sale price at fastgrowingtrees.com using code Shandy at checkout.
Fastgrowingtrees.com, code Shandy.
Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. So Andy, we all know by now that your phone is a place where time is wasted.
Eaten alive.
Eaten alive. It's over before you've begun. You're swiping. You're staring mindlessly. Suddenly an hour has gone by and you don't even know what happened.
And you're a worse person for it.
Yeah. I'm laughing, but it's actually entirely true. Like, how is that building your character?
It sucks your life force.
Yes. What if instead of wasting minutes on your phone, you spent 10 minutes a day very productively on your phone by learning a new language with Babbel?
Babbel is like a superhero flying in at the last second to save you from falling off a cliff.
A cliff of having a personality or not.
Everyone's like, wait a minute.
No, but seriously, I sometimes catch myself on my phone just swiping, like doing nothing. And I'm like, some of the stuff I'm looking at isn't even real. It was created by AI or something.
Yeah, but it's also created simply to make you keep swiping.
Yes, it's all about your attention, the attention economy. Why are you giving yourself away like that?
Where instead, you can improve yourself,
yes.
Expand yourself,
invest
make
in
yourself cooler.
Way cooler. Because speaking of having a personality, you automatically have more of a personality if you know how to speak another
Anyone
language.
Anyone who speaks two languages is cooler.
Yes.
Doesn't matter how bad a personality you
have,
you're automatically cooler.
I completely agree. So with Babbel, they have quick 10-minute lessons that you do daily, and these are crafted by over 200 language experts to help you learn to speak a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
And it's fun.
Fun. They gamify it.
It's fun.
When you get it right, it makes the sound.
You know what? I ask you, Shandys, if you had spent the last year, instead of scrolling mindlessly through the internet, if all those hours were spent on Babbel learning a new language.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be totally fluent by now.
Yeah. You'd be working at a company where they need someone to speak that language.
Like, that's the thing that got you the edge. Like, that's what got you the job is because you were also fluent in this language.
You'd be making business deals in Frankfurt by now.
So we have a special limited time deal for our listeners to Shandys right now. You can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/dearshandy.
That's up to 60% off at babbel.com/dearshandy.
Spelled babbel.com/dearshandy. Rules and restrictions may apply. And I'm going to do that thing I do where we have to talk about the fourth wall. You know, there's an entire team of producers who are trained. This is what they do. It is their job to keep them in that bubble.
Keep them drunk on that love.
Drunk, yeah, drunk, yes. To be like, oh, you know, you think that in their ITMs, they're like, but do you really think this can work? What, you know, you think that's coming up every day in the ITMs? What about the logistics? What about that that trip back and forth? Oh. Like, they're not asking them that.
They want them, basically.
Yeah, they want them to fall really hard because they want the love story and they also want the big breakup with Leslie. So,
and you know what? People are going to say, oh, Gary, I think they're going to put this on Gary because everyone's coming at Gary for all this BS backstory about Gary. I think Gary was swept up and he really liked Teresa and he's not in this for something else. Look, maybe he's in it for a little bit of fame, but who is it? Give the guy a break.
Well, I think a lot of people in his shoes would totally pounce on it too.
Of course. Yeah. Who wouldn't? Are you kidding? At 72, suddenly you're going to be an international celebrity?
Yeah. I also liked his candor about that. When you know, they first started talking to him and then COVID happened and it was like, oh, we want to see you more tan. We want to see you like this. Yeah. I just thought he was very candid about the fact that they, you know, he went through a rigorous casting process for them to consider him. I just think that that's human. A lot of people would pounce on that opportunity.
And in relation to that, my point was, is that...
Sorry.
No. I interrupted myself, actually.
You're very excited on this topic, Andy.
Gary is not to blame for this. If anything, I think they should be given credit for ending it so soon. They could have milked this for a year. They could have been like, hey, Teresa, I don't love you anymore. I don't care about you, but let's stay together. She's like, you got it. Let's get some Instagram followers. Let's get some fame. Let's do some red carpet. No, they're like, to be fair to us and the world, we're going to end this sooner than anyone would have thought.
Totally.
And I give them tremendous credit for that.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, next question. When recording your love fest with them, did you sense anything was off? This was by far the most asked question.
Look, to be perfectly honest, off, I'm not sure off is the word. I think we sensed that they were being measured about their response. I think we sensed that there was a clear understanding on both of their parts that this might not have legs for many reasons. Yeah. I mean, I think we both felt that. We didn't want to bring it up.
Well, and here's the thing. I have felt more of that from couples that have lasted or that are still together. You know what I mean? I don't ever feel comfortable being like, well, there was a little bit of tension when he gave that answer. Oh, that kiss looked a little bit forced. Like, that's not my place. When we do these love fests, it's really a show don't tell situation. Yes. Like, I feel like with them, the two things that stood out to me from a like clear like answer perspective were that, you know, obviously Teresa's still working and they were openly admitting that this was difficult. And he said he wants to travel and she's still working. She's still tethered to her job. And then the other one, of course, was the distance. But what I noticed that I wasn't expecting to notice in that love fest was a slight cultural difference between the two of them.
Yes, I agree.
And I think that was best illustrated with their answers to, if you could listen to one musician, band, or composer for the rest of your life.
Oh, Gary. Okay.
I don't know. There was a difference of culture. I don't know how else to put that. And I don't mean that in a negative way towards either of them.
Right.
It just wasn't something that I noticed as much during the filming of the show.
Again,
and then I noticed in the love
again,
fest.
Another thing that can work in the bubble, but starts to fray when you get into real life.
Yeah, yeah. And it was so subtle. Like when
it
I
was
say
very
that,
subtle.
That was truly the 5%. You know, I said 95%. I think it was logistics and distance. I truly think if they lived in the same place, that slight cultural difference could have been a cute thing.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I found it cute in the love fest too.
I never
was like, oh, that's a real problem.
Yes.
I was like, that might just be a straw.
Totally.
That breaks comes back. And the most shocking breakup of one of our love fests for me, and I think for you, was Brian Abasolo and Rachel Lindsay.
I almost cried.
Right. Because we, in a million years, we were like, this is the best couple ever.
Yeah.
And remember, they lived apart.
Yes.
When we did that. And we were like, that's no problem at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's all over. You never know.
You never know. Okay, so did you sense anything beyond what you've said, or can we move on from this question?
No, I obviously, when we finished that love fest, we had some questions.
Yeah.
We didn't get that warm and gushy feeling we sometimes have, or like,
we have been wrong about in the past.
Which we've been wrong about.
Because sometimes couples make it work. You know, even if they don't have that warm, gushy love fest feeling, they still make it work.
Yeah.
And it can be a beautiful relationship. What I agree with you. The fact that they ended this so quickly shows how much they respect each other and how much they respect everyone.
Respect for everyone.
Yeah.
Maturity and respect.
Yeah.
And love to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
If you really loved each other, why would you let it drag out?
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing, sorry, it just came to mind that stood out to me in our Love Fest was the answer to any beliefs that have changed since you found each other. And usually that's a positive, you know, usually. I mean, yeah. You're in the honeymoon phase, like they literally just had a televised wedding, you know. You would think the answer would be like, oh, that you could never love again, but I could, blah, blah, blah. And Gary's answer to that was that he had this idea that relationships would be easy after everything they've been through.
Yeah.
And instead it's like, no, but it's still hard.
It's still hard.
Like that to me was a very striking answer. Even if it's just logistics, that still stood out to me.
And hindsight, of course, is 2020. But right after the recording, I did feel that the answers about love were a little measured.
About each other specifically.
About each other specifically. I did think there was a chance they were going to make it. But at the end, my overall takeaway was this is a strong friendship.
Okay. Someone asked, do you think they were honest in the Love Fest? I think they were.
Yeah.
I think they were brutally honest, in fact.
Yeah, I think maybe too honest.
They were super honest. Did ABC push them to do the Love Fest? No.
I don't think so.
No.
Like Teresa it was doesn't a shandy.
Work like, it doesn't work like that. ABC doesn't push couples to do any podcast, I don't think. Unless it's their own podcast.
I'd be very flattered if ABC pushed them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
No. If anything, we have to ask permission. And the couples usually like agree to come on. And in our case, Teresa had watched our recaps. She was a shandy. And when we reached out, she had to go and get permission to come on Dear Shandy, which was such a gift to us. Like we were so touched.
Yeah.
And no, ABC, I think the only podcast they push their contestants to do are their own branded podcasts.
Right.
Yeah. Is there a Dear Shandy Love Fest curse?
Oh, God. Okay.
I didn't know about this until this morning. You informed me about this.
Yeah. First of all, once in a while when I want a thrill, I go on Reddit.
You have balls.
I've
learned. I've learned I can't handle it.
I'm a brave man. But there are a lot of people saying there's a Shandy curse. Like, I will say this. There are several things that are completely ridiculous about that. Uh-huh. One is, I think like 30 of 37 Love Fests we've done are still together. Some have children now, families, like multiple children. Like, if you go in the real world and just pick 37 new couples anywhere.
Yeah.
How many times are 30 of them still going to be together
almost
4
never.
Years later,
almost
3
never.
Years later? Almost never.
You know what people don't think about enough, I think, is the idea of forever. Like lasting a long time in a relationship. Like we've been together 10 years now. Like that's insane.
It's insane. I haven't done anything for 10 years.
Me neither. Like I cannot believe we're still together.
Yeah. And imagine if we met on a TV show.
Yeah. Where the selection you had was 30 people.
You know what the rate should be for our Love Fest? What? Out of 37, it should be 4.
Yeah. Also the idea that, you know, we should only bring on couples that are therefore going to last forever. It's like, give me a break. Yeah. Like we're a podcast. This is, you know, to some degree a business. When we get a big guest, a big couple coming on, like we're excited. And whether or not they work out, I think is irrelevant. I think that the whole point, like I said, is the show don't tell. The couple comes on, talks about their relationship dynamic, and then you can make what you will of what you see and hear them say.
And, you know, I think this all started because we had like two pretty close together Love Fest that didn't work out quickly.
It was
Chelsea and Austin.
Yeah, I'm still
and,
bummed
and
about
Danielle
that
and Michael.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, that's what started it. I think they're like, oh, that was quick. You just had a Love Fest, now they're broken up. And prior to that, we had like a streak going of like 20 in a row that were together, but now it's a curse. And you know what? Part of me thinks, and I'm not tooting our own horn here.
Okay.
I'm just saying this is a fact. I think that sometimes when you sit down and have a really intimate conversation with what I would consider a healthy couple. Are we a healthy couple?
I think
we're a healthy couple. I think it's 10 years.
Maybe there's a Reddit thread
podcast
talking about how long we have left.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe the Shandy curse is on us.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it's over. But we sometimes, I think, bring out realities in a couple. They're like, oh, this doesn't feel, something feels off here. This should feel harmonious, but there's something off. And maybe it sparks something where they're like, oh, There's maybe this isn't right.
I feel that in real life more so than in Love Fest, personally, just because Love Fest do feel, depending on the couple, sometimes they're more interviewee than other ones. A really good example of one that wasn't was Charity and Daughton.
Oh, and let me tell you something. Ain't no curse on Charity and Daughton. Nice try. And that's another thing. Reddit, first of all, now it's a public company, so you got to have some respect. I mean, this is a real institution now.
Reddit?
They went public. So you could buy Reddit stock now. It's crazy.
How does Reddit make money?
Ads, right?
Are there ads somehow?
I don't know how they make money.
Seriously, ads? I don't know how they make money.
Well, there's a lot of social networks that didn't have any monetizing effect whatsoever. Facebook wasn't making a dime when they went public, yeah. I think. And then they said, we're going to make money. Don't worry. And they made money.
Yeah.
Made some money. But my point is that Reddit jumped on the charity in Dotton April Fools. And they were like, I knew it. I saw on that Dear Shandy Love Fest, I saw cracks. It was obvious. It was weird. It was creepy. I didn't get a good feeling. Dotton's a jerk.
What?
Yes.
Dotton?
Don't look at Reddit. But I'm just telling
people
you, it was there.
Dotton's a jerk?
Well, it wasn't. I'm paraphrasing. But there were people who were like, I saw this coming. And then it was a joke. And you don't hear from them anymore. They like, just sink right into the bushes. Come on. Are you kidding me?
Reddit is not.
Terrible.
You know, my issue with Reddit is it's a place for people to be their worst selves.
Yeah. And you know what? There should be a place for that.
Yeah, sure.
Let it okay. happen. All right. Don't care.
Okay.
I mean, there are actually places where people are worse than Reddit.
Fair enough.
Reddit's actually like really nice compared to some places.
Oh, fair enough. Okay. So can we move on from the Dear Shandy curse?
There is no Dear Shandy curse. As a matter of fact, I would say that it's more of a Dear Shandy blessing.
Well, because I think that if you look at the actual divorce rate, then we're doing pretty well.
Divorce rate? What about breakup rate? Most of the people we've done Love Fest with
are not even married. Totally. It's such a good point. Also, they met on or adjacent to reality
yes.
TV. Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. Please.
Next question. I need to know if Andy bet money on how long they would last.
Oh, what kind of monster do you think I am?
Andy would never do that.
I don't bet on anything anymore. I just make-believe
no,
bets.
You actually do. Yeah, they're make-believe. You don't make-believe bet actual bets. Money, but you would never bet. You have bet.
Yeah, we've made bets. That's true. But you know,
you did that
funny
with Kenny
bets.
And Mari
we
for
did.
A year.
We did. That's true.
But
you're
you
right.
tend to do it.
It was a dollar, though.
It was $1, and you tend to do it. You know, I'll link the Instagram reel of that below because yeah. that was worth looking at. Mm. But you tend to bet on a couple lasting longer than people expect them to as like a big bravado show of how good you are at predicting success in relationships.
Thanks.
It doesn't tend to be like, oh, I give them 3 months. Like you don't, I don't want to
shit on relationships. It's
yeah.
not nice.
Agreed. Next question. Do you think 3 months was sufficient in determining it wasn't worth it to keep trying?
Absolutely.
I agree.
One day is sufficient.
Yeah.
If you know.
Yeah. Agreed.
So Charlene, on Mother's Day, what do you want to give your mother? Do you want to give her something that's going to stress her out? Do you want to give her something that's complicated, just a setup?
Or something that takes up a lot of space needlessly?
No. You want to give her something that's cozy, that's going to be comforting.
Yes.
That's going to swaddle her
yes.
in joy.
And it's going to be an upgrade, maybe, from something she already has, but it's mm-hmm. really luxurious.
Yeah, maybe she's not really doing nice things for
yeah.
herself.
Oh,
anymore.
A lot of mothers don't treat themselves. They're yeah. always thinking of their kids.
What mm-hmm. is that thing that we would get our mothers?
We get our mother's cozy earth.
Mm-hmm.
Cozy earth. I mean, they're famous for their bed sheets, which are made from viscose from bamboo. You guys have been hearing us talk about cozy earth sheets for so long, but it doesn't just stop at the sheets, although they are amazing.
I mean, these pants. I don't know if I could have done this podcast without these pants.
Oh.
I think this podcast is because of cozy earth.
Because.
It's come full circle.
Because you're so comfortable in your viscose from bamboo joggers there.
It's better than being naked. If I was naked, I would have to have this rough chair on my bum. Now I'm just sitting in a cloud.
I mean, you bring those everywhere.
When we are packing for travel,
yeah.
the word cozies and the phrase, should I bring my cozies or are you going to pack my cozies? Or I don't have room for my cozies. What are we going to leave at home?
And the sheets are cooling, naturally temperature regulating. They are velvety soft and they only get better with age somehow. Mm-hmm. It's like silky smooth. It's such a step up. From whatever cotton sheets you've been using, I'm serious. And I love that they're sustainably sourced because that is a lot of material. So you want to feel good about how that is sourced. Once you go cozy, you don't go back.
Yes.
Try us. We've had Shandys even say that. They're like, oh, I finally caved. I got the sheets. You were right.
Join us.
So this Mother's Day, treat mom to the self-care and sleep health she deserves with Cozy Earth bedding and sleepwear.
She deserves it.
And use our promo code Shandy to save 35% at CozyEarth.com.
After placing your order, select podcast in the survey and Dear Shandy in the drop-down menu that follows. Lo ho me, lo ho ho me, lo ho me, lo ho me, lo me.
what's Lomi about, Andy?
You don't
other
know?
Than being called
Lomi.
Is
that not descriptive enough? Lomi is your electric countertop composter that sits neatly on some counter.
Yes. In your kitchen.
In your kitchen, possibly.
Possibly, yes.
Or anywhere you want. Mm-hmm. And it takes all the gross, soon to be rotten, rodent attracting food waste.
Yes.
And it turns it into
soil.
Yes.
Yes. With the press of a button. That food waste, by the way, was going to go in the trash and over time become...
Oh. Methane.
Yes. Methane. It's a very harmful greenhouse
gas.
The
most harmful.
And really, let's be honest. Food waste was really meant to be returned to the earth. It was not meant to be trapped in plastic and sent to a dump and then sent God knows where.
Absolutely.
Where it would just molt.
It's the thing I feel the most bad about in my life is when I take food and put it in a place that's not the earth.
Yes, it's where it's meant to go. And April is Earth Month.
Isn't that sad that Earth only has 1 month?
Right.
Yeah, it's not Earth year. It's just 1 month. You get Earth and then the rest of the months, screw you.
Honestly, every day should be Earth Day.
Every day. And make every day Earth Day yourself with a Lomi.
Yes, because you really can reduce your carbon footprint by composting. And Lomi makes it so easy to do it.
Yeah, and it's fun.
It is fun.
I look forward. I actually like pressing the button.
That button.
I don't like when you press the button. It's me. That's my job. I press the button.
I often let you push the button.
That's true.
And Mother's Day is coming up.
That is a good Mother's Day gift.
That's a serious Mother's Day gift. It's great for someone who loves gardening, who generally cares about the planet, maybe wants to go more green,
yeah.
Or who cooks a lot, has a lot of food waste. It's a great gift.
You know what this is? This is a gift where it's really an apology. It's like if you've done something bad, you give this to someone, it's okay.
So whether you want to start making a positive environmental impact or just grow a beautiful garden, Lomi is perfect for you.
Head to Lomi.com/Shandy and use promo code Shandy to get $50 off your Lomi.
That's $50 off at Lomi.com/Shandy. That's Lomi.com/Shandy and use promo code Shandy at checkout. If you two met at Gary and Teresa's age and lived so far apart, what would you have done?
I'd have broken up.
Wow. Seriously?
Well, I'm going to change my whole life, like uproot myself, leave my grandkids.
Yeah.
Leave my community.
I was expecting you to give that answer with a little more like hurt in your voice.
Oh, sorry. No, I don't have any, I don't have any deep love for the version of us that meets when we're 70. I don't know who you are. Yeah, it's a different person.
That is such an interesting way to look at that. So I looked at it a little more like, ooh, that's hard. But my ultimate answer is the same. Like if I'm living close to my family, especially if I've grown children and grandkids, or let's say I don't have kids, but I'm like close to my sisters or something.
There's no way you would have done it. You're acting like you're on the fence.
No,
you're trying to be like the good cop here. Nice try. You wouldn't have even considered it.
Yeah.
And I respect that.
I would have to have already been wanting to move, to change my life, to have some adventure, to do something that this was just like the ammunition I needed.
Yeah, if you got out of it, there's just like some tragedy in your life.
Yes.
Where you needed a springboard to just reboot yourself.
Totally.
Maybe then you would have considered it. But even then, would we have stayed together?
No, I think we would have probably visited each other for like a month at a time in the beginning to see how it went. But I agree with you. Ultimately, that's a lot to ask of someone at this stage when they have, like I said, the roots.
Timing is like salt in a recipe.
Uh-huh.
You can't have, it doesn't matter how delicious a meal is. If you have no salt, it's not going to be good.
Does this make you love The Golden Bachelor any less?
No.
You're like personally offended by these questions.
Are they talking about the franchise or the man?
I think they mean the franchise.
No.
How about Gary himself?
No.
No. Yeah.
This was a great journey. I believe the whole thing.
Did you just call it a journey?
It was a journey. I did.
A great journey.
You know what it was?
It was an amazing journey.
It was an amazing journey.
It was.
I cried.
I laughed.
I cried. I was at the edge of my seat. And you know what? I'm okay with it ending like this. This is real life.
Yes.
And The Golden Bachelor, if it was nothing else, it was real.
100%. Well answered, Andy.
Thank you.
And I mean, I'm piggybacking off your answer. I completely agree. Do you think Gary will get back together with Leslie?
Oh, please. No. Gary was never together with Leslie. That was a sham. It's not happening.
Did Leslie live close?
I don't know. No, Leslie lived in Minnesota?
Yeah, I think so.
Minnesota, Indiana, that's not close enough.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I mean, you're in a different state.
Isn't it funny how that's like the default? Is
like there's only one other person in the world
that he could date.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's happening. If it does, I'll be shocked and I'll be happy for them, but I don't think it's happening.
Yeah. I also think that if he didn't choose her, then, you know, it wasn't. They're not a thing.
100%. Yeah.
Should Golden Bachelor follow a Love is Blind format and cast people from the same city? I think that's a really good idea. I would watch that.
That is a good idea.
Yes, I would totally watch. But it would be hard to cast.
That's going to be very hard to cast. Yeah. That's going to be
casting
hard to
cast. That would be brutal.
It's hard enough when you have the whole country.
Yes.
Let alone the whole continent.
Well, because, I mean, that's partly because the Bachelor franchise always wants a certain type of cast.
Yeah.
I think if they were a little less stringent, I think that they could get an interesting show going.
Yeah.
I would totally watch that. In fact, I suspect that that would make me really cry as well.
Oh yeah. We're going to cry. The next Golden anything, there's going to be crying.
Yeah. Do you think the franchise should scrap Golden Bachelorette? This question.
Why would
anyone say yes to that?
Why?
Why is everything so all or nothing? So black or white? Why is it like, this didn't work out? So, and I know this, it's just a question we ask for questions, and I don't mean to like poo poo it too much. It's just like,
it makes no sense. It's like going to a restaurant for the first time and the meal wasn't great. You're like, oh, I'm never going to a restaurant again.
Yeah.
That's it. Done with restaurants.
Or you go to a restaurant and you get food poisoning.
Yeah.
But even that,
that's a decent reason to not go to restaurants.
Well, to be honest, though,
I can understand. It's PTSD.
I don't feel as negatively affected by this outcome as I would food poisoning.
No. You know, it's like going to a spectacular restaurant.
Okay.
Just an immaculate meal, delicious, service was great. And then like 3 months later, you get some bill and they're like, oh, we forgot to charge you for the caviar. And you didn't really remember ordering caviar.
Or maybe they brought the caviar and you assumed it was included.
Oh, right. They were like, oh, and we have the special caviar.
Like in Europe where they give you the bottled water and you think it's part of the meal.
Right. Like they just put caviar on the table. And they're like, and you're like, oh, okay. I don't really like caviar, but I'll look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you get charged. I'm like, it leaves a little bad taste in my mouth, but it doesn't make me not want to go to a restaurant again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. That kind of worked, Andy. Not super realistic.
Not great.
Next question. Why do you think they did the televised wedding? Pressure, optimism? And then the follow-up by someone else was, do you think production feels guilty for rushing them into marriage?
Okay. First of all, production doesn't feel guilty about anything. Production feels guilty about not feeling guilty enough about things.
Yeah.
So let's drop that. No offense to production. This is a TV show.
Yeah. And
they want drama.
And I think production would have wanted them to stay together.
Absolutely.
But I don't think that anyone is losing sleep over the fact that they didn't.
Production wins no matter what happens.
Yes.
Let's face it. So this outcome 100%. It's not like production's like, oh, well, that's it. It's the end of the franchise.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
If anything, people like want, like the restaurant analogy, like you want to make up for it. You want to like, you know, this wasn't a good restaurant, but now I really want to have a good meal at another restaurant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like, let's look forward to a good meal instead of saying that all meals are bad.
Yeah. And for that first question, why do you think they did the televised wedding? Pressure or optimism? I think it was probably a combination of pressure and optimism. Hmm. I do think it's possible there's some stipulation in the contract.
Sure.
It's I'm not sure, but I don't think they could force them to do a wedding. But
they can't
force
them. But I think it was a fun thing. They were like riding a wave. It was great. They're like, yeah, we'll do a big TV wedding.
Yeah,
why
it's
not?
Also, like hindsight, like you said, it's 2020. I really think that they thought they could make this work. I don't think it's malicious.
I don't think it's malicious. I think they thought it could work. And I also think that if there was no discussion of a wedding and they were just let on their merry way after the show ended,
mm-hmm.
they would not have run to City Hall and gotten married.
I totally agree.
And that probably would have been healthy for the relationship. Would it have lasted forever?
Who knows?
Yeah, probably not.
Forever.
But still,
what is forever?
They wouldn't have gotten married out of the gate.
Yeah.
That's not a normal thing to do in life.
Okay. I mean, Vegas, it's a whole industry dedicated
to that. What's the
divorce rate
of Vegas?
I don't know.
Probably better than Dear Shandy.
Do you actually know?
It's probably, I mean, it's got to be huge.
I have no idea.
Some of them probably, like, I would say the annulment rate is probably 50% on Vegas marriages, let alone the divorce rate.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say like maybe 80% don't last if you get married in Vegas.
Okay. Okay, last question, Andy, and this is from someone you know. We'll see if you can guess who it is.
Ooh.
If they had a small gathering to celebrate the wedding, is that a golden shower?
It's Thomas. You win this round, Thomas.
I just threw that one in there for good measure. Yeah,
that's good.
Okay, Andy, that is a wrap. Any closing thoughts?
Look, I'm sad, but I'm also happy that we got to experience this whole process.
To be honest, having them on a Love Fest, like, I feel so lucky.
Yeah.
I feel very privileged to have interviewed them while they were still together. If anyone thinks they weren't still together, I disagree. They were still together when we did that Love Fest. I think they were still figuring it out. It was one of the times they were together physically, which wasn't all the time. And I'm like, I cannot believe that we got that.
I know.
Break. Like, I'm so thankful to Teresa. It was definitely Teresa who made that happen.
I feel honored.
Same.
And honestly, while watching that show, if you told me that we were going to have a Love Fest with them like 3 months later, I would have said that's ridiculous.
Yeah. No, it was a really big deal for us just from, you know, we see this show all the time and we've had couples on the show. It's just that watching their season in particular was it impacted us.
Yeah. It felt like celebrity.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like we were having, like, you know, Brad and Angelina.
Brangelina? But that's a good point. It would have been like having Brangelina on when they were still together. Are you kidding me?
Oh my God.
What a moment in time.
Maybe a week before they broke up.
Yeah.
And as we've said before, this doesn't in any way sour my feelings about the franchise. I want to see more of this.
Yeah.
And I think there's like, what can the success rate be of this franchise, of the golden franchise? Mm-hmm. Thomas, now I can't get that out of my head. The success rate should be no more than 50%.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what are the odds?
Yeah.
Think about the situation.
And again, this is based on casting, and half the people cast on the show in the first place are cast either like for a specific look or because they're going to provide drama or character or something. Like, they're not often cast because they actually think they'll be a good match.
Yeah. In a great tennis match, you get like, you know, like a classic Nadal Federer.
Okay.
Like, it always comes down to like fifth set tiebreak. It's like, it's so close the whole time. So it's basically 50-50.
Uh-huh.
They really, realistically, in the end, they're really just each one won exactly 50% of the match.
Yeah.
But there is a winner. So the Golden Bachelor is Love 15 now.
Okay.
And maybe next season it'll be 15 all. But I'm not here for the score. I'm here to enjoy the game.
Oh. You're proud of yourself. Okay, that's a perfect place to wrap, Andy.
All right.
If you enjoyed what you heard today, you know what we will ask of you, and that is to like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, follow us on Instagram and
TikTok.
Leave us Apple and
Spotify
podcast ratings and reviews. Tell your friends and generally do all the things you would do to support a podcast you enjoy. Thank you so much for tuning in and for this bonus episode, which we never, ever do. Let us know also what you thought of this.
Yeah, if you don't want any more of this, it's good.
Yeah, I don't want to promise that we would do this more because I just really, it's not really our flavor to do this.
But if something comes up where we would want to do this, we will do it if they want.
It felt very appropriate considering how recently we had our Love Fest.
We needed a postmortem.
Yes.
This deserved a postmortem.
I agree. Exactly. And generally do all the things you would do to support a podcast you enjoy. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time on Dear Shandy. Bye-bye. Dear Shandy.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m., and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.